Everyone, welcome to CS50's fifth walkthrough. So this is the forensics problem set. This is the one where David went around campus, took a bunch of pictures, and then had them on this flashcard and somehow corrupted it. So he somehow lost all this data, and now he wants you guys to get it back for him. So this is a really cool problem set because you'll actually be doing something that you might find useful one day. And David said in lecture that he actually did this kind of work for the district attorney one summer for in the forensics department. So it's really cool. You will actually end up with images at the end. You will have a bunch of JPEGs that you will retrieve from this corrupted flash drive, which you wouldn't be able to do without the kinds of skills you're learning in CS50. So it's cool. There's also competition running among the sections over who can identify the pictures or which section can identify the greatest number of pictures. So these are places around on campus that are sort of obscure but recognizable. So if you're into that, your section can compete to have the section that identifies the greatest number of these images. So it's pretty fun, and you'll see the images. Some of them are funny and some of them are really nice. So it'll be a fun problem set. It's a little hard because it's kind of foreign and it's not something that you've looked at. So today we're going to be looking at a bunch of things that you might not have seen before, but we'll go pretty slowly, so you'll be able to get right into it. So the first thing we're going to do is look at the source code that you're getting. So we've been working with distribution code. You've been copying. Does anyone remember how to copy the distribution code? Because this time the problem set doesn't tell you explicitly. What's the command? CP-R, right? Because you want to copy it recursively. So you want to copy each directory and each file inside each directory into your own. So good. That's how we're going to copy. Let's look at, so I've already done this, so I already have it inside my directory. And you have these files, bmp.h, clue.bmp, copy.c, large, all these. So small and large are actually bitmap images. Yeah. Good. Let me also dim the lights. That might be better. Okay, so we have small and large .bmp are images. Smiley is also an image. So these are the images that you're going to be working with in the first two parts of the problem set. You have a makefile as usual, and you have clue.bmp. So there are three parts in this problem set. The first part is the whodunit part. So this is like a murder mystery where you're going to use what's in clue.bmp to sort of discover this, to use that clue to find out who committed this murder. Then you're going to use small and large to create a resizing program that takes a file and a factor by which to resize and resizes it. And then you're going to do recover, which is the really cool part where you're recovering these lost images. So the distribution code gives you these images to work with, but it also gives you really, really helpful code. So like I said, this isn't stuff that you've necessarily seen before, but it's all in here. So most of the commands that you're going to need, you're going to be able to find in bmp.h and in copy.c. So let's first look at bmp.h. And in here, you have a bunch of data types that are being defined. So this type def, does anyone remember what type def does? Yes, it gives a different name. So it's like an aliaser. It gives an alias for these things. So an unsigned char, it's one byte. So we're just going to refer to it as byte because that's simpler for us. And this is, again, it's unnecessary. You can always refer to it as an unsigned char, but we're kind of creating our own type in this case. So this is how the CS50 library, for example, created strings for you guys. Because strings are actually char stars, but we didn't want you to have to deal with pointers so early on, so we just alias this with type def in order to give you the command string, or the type string that you could type. So you have those types defined up there that you should use. And since this bmp.h is going to be included in all your other code, like in copy.c, so you can refer to these things and the compiler will know what you're talking about. And then you have these bitmap file headers and bitmap info headers. So we'll talk about this when we start talking about bitmaps in a few minutes, but just to look at, these are all this is all the information that's stored at the beginning of a bitmap. So a bitmap is a way that images are stored, and it has consecutive pixels that represent the colors of the image. And before those colors begin, the first 54 bytes are are these info headers and file headers. So this tells you the size, this tells you the type, the width, the height, the bit count, whether it's compressed or not, and all this stuff you're linked to in the problem set to look up on a website. So you should be able to find that. You're going to be doing a bit of reading up on all this stuff, but it's really interesting and useful. And the third thing we have down here is the RGB triples. Now, RGB triples are how a color pixel is represented in the bitmap that you'll be working with. So you have blue, green, and red colors, right? And each one is represented in this, it's in this order, so it's a struct, right? RGB triple is the struct that we created, and the three bytes that are in it are how much blue is there, how much green is there, and how much red is there. Now we specify how much of each color there is with hexadecimal numbers. So the minimum amount of blue you can have, for example, is 00. So if you don't want any blue, your RGB triple dot RGBT blue is going to equal what? How do you start using a hexadecimal? How do you tell the computer that you're about to type a hexadecimal number? Yes, 0x. So it's going to be 0x, and then what's the minimum amount of blue you can have? 0x00 would be how you would represent that in hexadecimal. Yeah, so that's no blue. That's turn off all the blue in that bit, in that byte. Then if you wanted to have maximum blue, what's the maximum you can have in hexadecimal if you're using 2? FF, exactly. So you're going to have OXFF is only blue. So when we look at whodunit, all right, so we've discussed this. These are the three programs we're doing. You're going to learn file I/O, which is what we just had a sneak peek of, and hexadecimal we're talking about at the moment. Bitmaps we did. I'll go back to those a few. I just want to show you now the. Oh, sorry. Where did I want to go? Okay. So if you're looking at Smiley, which is the bitmap that you're gonna work with to enlarge it, if you want it, when you're working on your resize program, you're gonna be working with Smiley, and you can use this command that's written right here. It's also written in the problem set to actually see every individual RGBT triple. So these are, if you write out all the pixels, this is what's actually stored. This is how Smiley is actually stored. And so we took and we made all the FFFFFFs white, because FFFFF, I don't know how many, represents white, right? If you just have 6 Fs, that's the maximum amount of each color, and that's how white is going to be represented. And then OOOOFF is going to be red, right? Because you first put the blue, then the green, then the red. So here we have one byte, which is 8 bits. So each number here, so the 0 and the F, every one of those is 4 bits. And a byte is how many bits? 8. Good. Quiz 0. So a byte is 8 bits. So and each of these numbers here, each of these hexadecimal digits, is going to be 4 bits. So each 2 of them is a byte, and 2 of them represent how much of that color. So the first 2 numbers here, the 00 or the FF, if you're looking on top left, those are 1 byte, and that's how much blue. And FF means all the blue, 00 means no blue. So if you look at the ones that are colored red here, that means no blue, no green, a maximum red. So that's why those turn red. And if you see, you can actually look and see that this is a smiley face. So you can actually see if you color code these pixels, you can see exactly the image that's going to come up when you open it. And so each one of these on top, this is called a scan line. So each row is called a scan line. And then within the scan line, you have these pixels. Okay? So this is the image. And this is how it's represented. If you run this command, you'll see that. You won't see it color-coded, but you'll still see that. So we talked about the metadata that's in these the first 54 bytes. And now we're going to look at what exactly those headers have. So this is, I hope you guys can see that. This is also in the problem set, so you're going to take a look at that. And this is what a lot of your reading is going to be based on, figuring out what each of these things is. But we can sort of narrow down what the most important parts are for our purposes. So knowing that we're going to have to be resizing an image, what's going to be important information here for us? Yeah. Yeah, so the width, the height, the size, exactly. So you're going to read up on all these things. These headers have really good information. But know that the most important parts for you are going to be BI size, BI width, and BI height. So you especially want to focus on that when you're doing this reading. Now let's take a look at copy.c, which is the other place where you have a lot of helpful code. So copy.c, and this is a program whose sole purpose is to copy one file into another. So obviously we just talked about the command cp, you can just use cp. So there's no real need to write this program other than to tell you how to write the other two programs. So you don't actually need a copy, this is just to help you. And it really will help you. So you see a lot of really familiar things, and we're just going to walk through actually every line of this code because this is the crux of what you're going to need. So most of it is in here. So as you can see, bmp.h is included on top because that's where all our sort of aliases are defined. That's where we're using RGB triple, stuff like that. So here you have, you ensure proper usage by making sure the arg count is does not equal, you're making sure the arg count is 3. So if it doesn't equal 3, tell them how to use it. And then this is something new that we haven't seen before. So this is to create file names, right? So a char star is a string. So if we have char star in file, that's just the file name, and we're using the variable in file to store it, and it gets set argv1. Because for this copy program to work, it takes 3 arguments. It takes what you want to, well, it doesn't take 3. It has the 3 arguments including its own name. So you're going to run like copy, smiley.bmp, smiley2.bmp, for example. So it's going to take the second argument that you type, which is argv1, and store that as the in file, which is the file that it's going to read in. And then smiley2.bmp is going to be the out file, which is where it's going to print the new smiley face, right? Or is going to create the new image. So now you have those two strings that are really just going to be the names for those files. And then this is how you actually open the file. So there's a type that's file, which is the type that we're going to want to use here in standard IO. See how these libraries are included up here? So don't forget when you write your programs that you're going to need those too so that you can access things like file. So this says file star. So what does that mean? It doesn't say file. The type isn't file. It's file star. So what does that mean? It's a pointer to a file. Exactly. So whenever you open a file using this command fopen, which is also in these libraries, when you use fopen, what does it return? What does fopen return? Just from looking at this code, you can see. Say it again. What type does it return? Yeah. It returns a pointer to what? Exactly, a pointer to a file. So when you open the file, it doesn't give you the file, right? It gives you the pointer to the file. So that's why we have file star in pointer, which is the pointer to the in file. That's why it's called that. And you see this R right here. Does anyone know what the R means? So it says in file, comma, yeah. Right, so it's read only. So we're not writing in this, right? You're not going to write into the in file. If we're using the example of Smiley and Smiley 2 because we're just making a copy of it, you're not writing into Smiley. You're just reading in everything that's in Smiley, and then you're going to copy it into the out file, which will be Smiley 2. So you every time you define a pointer, what do you have to do? It's done right here. Yeah. Make sure it's not null. Right, so sometimes there can be an error in memory, something could go wrong, and you can get back a null pointer. When you try to dereference a null pointer, what happens? Segfault, Binky dies, yeah. So you want to check that it's not, if it's null, you want to say that you couldn't open the file, and you want to return and exit the program. And then we're doing the same exact thing for the out pointer, which is going to be a pointer to the out file, which is where we're going to be writing. So you do the same thing, except that you also have this, which is just closing the in pointer.
And you have a W, so you can write.
Yeah, and right, of course. So you have the W so that you can write instead of just reading in this one. So it's the same thing, and again, if there's an error, you're returning. So now, the first thing you want to copy, if you're just making a copy, you also have to copy the headers, right? You can't just copy whatever information's in it. You also want to copy the headers. So you copy the entire bitmap file header and the bitmap info header. Now, how are we copying? This is where everything sort of happens. You're reading from the in file and writing to the out file. So first, in this part, we're reading in the info header and the file header. So we're going to read it. So the way fread works is it takes where you're reading to, and you see it has an ampersand. So that's an address. So you're telling the compiler to go to this address and read into that address. Okay, so whatever it's going to read in, sort of, whatever information it's going to pull out of the in pointer, the pointer to the in file, so whatever it's going to pull out of this smiley.bmp that we said, it's going to write, it's going to read it into this memory that we have, which is the address of BF, because we just defined bitmap file header type BF. Yeah. Sorry, where? Oh, it's standard error. So it's just a way of printing this error. And you don't need to, you could have just done printf and it would have been fine. But this is just the way that they chose to print it out. Because you can print from the out file. This is a way of saying that the out file created this error. It's not just, oh, there was this error happened. It specifically refers to the out file. So we have the bitmap file header, and we have this bitmap file header type and BF, so this is going to allocate enough memory for a bitmap file header, and then inside that memory address, which is signaled by the ampersand, we're going to put the size of bitmap file header. So this is the kind of stuff that we defined in bmp.h, right? This is when you do size of bitmap file header, because bitmap file header is a type, so it's like doing size of int. Right? Except we don't want to just say, you know, however many bytes a bitmap file header is, we just say the size of it. And then how many? So one, right? So we're going to read into the memory location BF the size of a file header, one of them. So it's like, what's the size, and then how many, what quantity of it? And then you're reading from the in pointer. So let me write that here. So fread will read into size quantity. Am I writing behind the screen? Okay. Quantity and then from. Okay, that's how it works. But all of these things you can also look up on Google and on CPP reference and then stuff like that. I think it's also on the resources page of the course website. So if you get confused about how to use all this file I/O stuff, it's all going to be there. And fwrite works. So this one needs an ampersand, right? This is going to have an ampersand here. And fwrite works sort of the opposite. So it's going to write into, it's going to write from a memory address, size, quantity, and into a pointer, right? So if we're writing into the out file, as we're about to see, that out file is going to be the last pointer, right? And then this one has the asterisk here. Okay, we'll see it, so don't worry. This is just the first time you're seeing it. Now we're going, this is just to check that it's a 24-bit uncompressed int. You just include that to make sure, though it will be, but it's just good practice. But obviously in the code that we're giving you, it will be. And here we have that fwrite that we talked about, right? So now we're writing out of BF the same size, so the size of the file header, one quantity of it, so one file header we're writing. We're writing it to the out pointer, which is the pointer to our out file. Okay, clear on that? And the same thing with the info header. So we're doing the same exact thing, except it's size of the info header this time. And it's a new memory address. So this is all done for you. I just want to make sure you understand it, because you're going to need to use it. Okay, so now there's this thing called padding. So let me go back to, well, no, let's do it here. Okay, so it turns out that in a BMP, if you have any line in your image that's not divisible by 4, so it's not a multiple of 4, you need to include this padding, right? So padding is just zeros. It's just straight zeros, but because it needs to align it, or for whatever reason, it just became the convention that BMPs have to have a multiple of 4 pixels per scan line. So that means each row has to have at least 4 pixels. It has to have 4 or 8 or 12 or 16. And if it doesn't, then you have to pad the remainder with zeros. So there's this formula here that determines how much padding is needed. So you're going to take bi dot bi width is what? Right, so it's the width of your scan line, sort of, how many pixels are in the scan line. It's going to multiply it by the size of RGB triple. Remember, RGB triple is 1 pixel, and it's what its colors are, right? And do you guys remember the size of the RGB triple? How many bytes? 3 bytes, right, so 24 bits, so 3 bytes, yeah. So it's 3 bytes in here. So you're going to multiply the number of pixels times the size of each pixel. So the number of triples times the size of each triple. And then you're going to mod that by 4. And you're going to subtract that from 4 to see how many you need to add, right? So you need to see how much it's over 4, right? So if you had the number 5 or something. So if, or let's say you had... In small.bmp, which is an image we'll look at in a little bit, in small.bmp, the bi.bi width is 3 because it's 3 by 3. So it's going to be the bi.bi width is going to be 3, and you're multiplying it by the size of an RGB triple. So then you end up with 9. Then you mod 4 and get 1, right? And then you subtract 1 from 4 and you get 3. Okay, great. So now you know that you have to, add 3 pixels of padding to make it a multiple of 4. Now, why do you need this mod 4 at the very end then?
Make the 4 zeros.
Exactly. So that if you have 4 here and you get 4 minus 4, you're going to have, sorry, if you... Right, if you have 4 minus 4, you want to have 0. You want to have 0 padding inside of it. So if the remainder, when you mod by 4, so if mod of this amount is 4, is 0, that means it is divisible by 4. But then if you just do 4 minus 0, you'll get 4. But you don't want to put 4 things of padding, right? You just want to have no padding if it's a multiple of 4. So that's why I have that extra mod out there. Okay, so now we have, so what do we do whenever we want to go across and down and iterate through boxes? We've done it in every problem set. The nested for loops, right. So you have that here as well. You're going through each scan line with the outer for loop that goes to the through the height. And then you have an inner for loop that goes through the width. So this is the same thing that we did in Mario. And for each one, the way you're iterating before in 15, you were going to tiles, and in Sudoku, you were going to locations on the board, so also sort of like the tiles. And here, you're going through the pixels, so you're going to each triple. So we have temporary storage for this triple that's at the location we're at right now, and it's of type RGB triple, right? So that's where we're storing it, and then you have... and so we're reading in each triple from where? From the in file into what? Into our temporary storage, right? Into the address of triple. And then we're writing out from the address of triple into the out file, right? So we follow the out pointer and we write it in there. And it's the size of the RGB triple. So we're doing this pixel by pixel. So this is where all the copying happens. And what we want to do is for each scan line, right, at the end of the scan line is where we might encounter padding. We may or may not. So there's this command fseek that will skip over the padding. So it's going to skip that. It's going to skip that amount. And seeker means to start where the cursor is. Moment. But you don't really, I mean, just... know that that's skipping over padding and included in your code. But you will inevitably end up including all of this in your programs because you're just going to copy and paste this, really, into your other files, and that's how you're going to get started because a lot of this code is verbatim what you're going to be using. And then this, so we've skipped over the padding so that we... Well, this is just to make your lives easier. They skip over the padding, and then they write it back in. And the reason this makes your lives easier is because in this case, it doesn't really matter because there's going to be the same amount of padding in the original and in the copy, right, because you haven't changed anything. But in the ones you're doing, like in resize, you're going to have a different amount of padding in the original image and the bigger image, or the because it might be a multiple of four, or this might be a multiple of four, so you need to actually skip over the padding and then determine your own amount of padding. But we'll get to that. This is basically how you enter in the padding. FPUTC is putting that character of padding in, and it's also hexadecimal, and it's also one byte, and it's 0x00 is what the padding is going to be. And you're writing that to the out pointer as well, so you're writing that into the out file. So, in your first task, let me go back to, all right, so we've talked about the file header, we've talked about padding. These are, by the way, thank you to Cato for these slides. These were slides that he used last year that I stole from him, but they're great. I love this image especially. Anyway, so this is whodunit. This is your first assignment. You get this. Actually, you can kind of see. Can you see a little bit of the blue in there? Yeah, so that's like the secret message that you have to decode, and this is a bitmap, and it's clue.bmp. So this is just a copy of what clue.bmp has in it, and you want to get that blue text out. So this is like those games that you get in like cereal boxes where you get the red cellophane and you put it over and it stops all the red light from coming through. So then you only get like the blue light coming through, and then you figure out what the message says. So there are multiple ways of getting to this message and getting rid of all this red noise. And it doesn't matter which way you do as long as the message is legible at the end. But the simplest of ways is you have a bunch of red and under it is blue and everything is either all red or all blue. There's no mix. So what's the simplest way to read the blue?
Get rid of the red.
Get rid of the red, exactly. Exactly. So that's one way of doing it. You can get rid of the red completely. Now, you can change all the red to green or something and change the blue to black. Like, there are many ways of doing it, but the basic way is just get rid of all the white, the red by making it white, for example. So where do you think, so in your whodunit program, you are going to actually only, so you're going to copy.c into your whodunit program in Nano, you can copy it, and you're going to have to write literally two lines of code for this entire part of the problem set. Now, last year when they told me you're only going to have to write two lines of code, I was like, all right, but it takes a while to think of what those two lines of code are going to be, and you know one of them is just going to be like an if statement, so then the one line is really all that matters, but you have no idea what that one line is. And it's really hard for me right now because I know it and it's just so easy to tell you, but I can't. But I will tell you where. So there's what lines you have to write and there's where you have to write them. So let's figure out now together where we have to write this line of code or these two lines of code. Where, so we're copying everything, we're making the same exact image, but now we don't want to make the same exact image, right? We want to change something about it. So where can we change something about our image? Okay, so where are you copying? What lines? Right, so here we're reading it in, and here we're writing it out. So somewhere, presumably, between these two lines, you're going to have to change it, right? You're going to change what you're reading in. So remember, you're reading in one pixel at a time. And what do you want to do with that pixel? You have to check what?
That it's red.
Check if the pixel is red. And how did we say a red was represented? Maximum amount of red. Right. So the whole triple would be zero, 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 FF. Or if you were just checking the amount of red, it would be OXFF for the red. So you're going to want to go back in BMP.h to the RGB triple type struct, and inside that struct, there's a name sort of variables for the red, for the blue, for the green. So you want to check if the red one is max red, which we just said. And if it is, you want to change it to white. So you would just set... well, I don't know. I think you have to set each color, right? So we said that white was the maximum. White was every color at its max. So you're going to want to put every color at its max to get the white. And then be able to see the image. So one question that I had, so I did this, and I was like, okay, now it's going to work. And I was like, well, how do I see it? Right? Because you can't see these things in terminal. So no one ever showed me this last year until I went to office hours and asked someone. So I'm going to show it to all of you guys. There's a bunch of these SFTP sort of programs. A popular one is Fugu, and it's free online to download. It's F-U-G-U. It looks like this. I guess it's like a fish. Yeah. So once you can download this for free, and it lets you copy things from something like Terminal from a Linux environment onto your desktop, onto your computer. So it stands for Secure File Transfer Protocol, and allows you to transfer these files. This is extremely helpful for writing websites, stuff like that, and you'll become really, really familiar with Fugu as you move on in the course and I start working with actual images and stuff like that. Because there's no way that we can view these images like Smiley or Whodunit inside of Terminal or PuTTY. Okay, so you connect to nice.fast.harvard.edu with your username. It asks for your password. And then it has all of your files. Presumably you look in CS50, PSET 5, and this is inside BMP. So now we have all of these images, so now we can copy and look at Small and Smiley and stuff like that, so you can do that once you get started. But right now I'm just going to copy BMP so you see it. So I just drag it over onto my desktop, or you can select whatever folder by using the drop-down menu, so it's simple. And then I think I can open it straight from here. No, I can't. Clue.bmp. Okay. So there it is. So now you have it. And once you've changed it, so once you've used your Whodunit program to change this, you'll have another file. Let's say solution.bmp. I don't know if there's something specific you're supposed to call it, and then you can open it like this, the way I just did it. Copy it to your desktop or to your computer and open it, and then you'll be able to see the message. Okay? F-U-G-U. Yeah, there's other ones. So you can also just Google SFTP and see, but I've only ever used Fugu, and I think it's great. It's like really simple to use. So yeah. So that's all for whodunit.c. Okay. So that's Whodunit. So that's the first part. Are there any questions about Whodunit? Any questions about Whodunit? Okay, cool. So now we're going to move on to resize. So there are two parts to resizing this. You have to resize the actual file. So you have to resize the metadata, and you have to change that in where? Where's the metadata? Where did we say? What is the metadata? The headers, right. So there's the info header and the file header, and you're going to have to change the sizes in that, right? Because you can't just change the size of your image without affecting the metadata. So when we looked at that table of all the stuff that's in the headers, we saw stuff like BI size, BI width, BI height. Those all need to change. That's the first step. You need to change those. And then you also have to write out the new pixels. So again, like I said, we're just going to copy over copy.c into our resize program. We're going to use that. Resize is going to take four arguments, right? So the first argument is obviously the name of the program, as always. and then argv1 is going to be the factor by which you want to resize. Argv2 is going to be the in file. So it's going to be what file do you want to resize. And argv3 is going to be the out file. So it's going to be what the new one's going to be called. So this is something like this is where we're changing the metadata. So the file headers, the info headers, like we said. And so if you ran this on the bottom, resize for small.bmp, large.bmp, that means take whatever's in small.bmp, increase it by a factor of 4, and then copy it into large.bmp. And this is actually supposed to be resized 2. So the image is resized, is what happens when you resize 2, if you can tell. because it's only increased it by double, right? But it says recess for the example. So that's how the arguments work. And you want to check that argv, well, what did we do in Caesar when we had an argv1 that we were going to use as a number, that we were going to multiply with and add with? What did we do? Right. So we had to check first that it was a digit. And then what did we do once we knew that it was a digit? Turn it into an integer, exactly, using a2i. So it's the same exact thing as that because, again, the command line reads in everything as strings. And you can't multiply by a string, obviously. So we're going to have to check that it's a digit and change it to an integer and store that in some variable that we're going to use and that we're actually going to change our file headers by and our info headers. So if you are resizing by 4, that means how much is the width going to change by? A factor of? It's not a trick question. 4, right? Okay. How much is the height going to change by?
4.
How much is the image size in general going to change by?
16.
Okay, that was the point. I wasn't just asking you dumb questions. Yeah, so the width changes by 4, the height changes by 4. That means the entire image changes by 4 squared. So make sure you take that into account. You can't just increase the size of the file by 4. So with each pixel, we can't change the size of a pixel, right? A pixel is always going to be the 3 bytes, right, that we have in RGB in the RGB triple. So what can we do? We can't change the size of a pixel. We can't make a pixel any bigger. So what can we do to resize an image? If we had an image that was just 1 pixel, that was the entire image, how would we make that image twice as big? Say it again. Copy the pixel? Yeah. So you would just print out the pixel 4 times, right? If you have just 1 pixel and you want to increase the size by 2, that means you're printing that pixel twice across and then that row twice, right? So now that row is the scan line, right? So you're printing each pixel inside the scan line twice if you're trying to increase by a factor of 2, and then you're printing each scan line twice, right? Is everyone clear on that? So you can't just make a pixel bigger. You just have to print, if you're trying to resize by 2, you just have to print 4 times as many pixels, right? Two times as many across, 2 times as many down. And again, just to repeat the terminology, you want to print each pixel in a scan line twice, and then each scan line twice. Yeah.
So shouldn't that line down at the bottom be resized?
Yeah. That's what I said before. This should be 2. Yeah. I'm using last year's slide, so I can't take responsibility. but yeah, this should be a 2 right here. So the image is 2, but I think this was just meant to demonstrate the argument that it takes. Then the picture was just any arbitrary, but. So it's gonna this image is increasing it by a factor of 2, not by a factor of 4. If it was a factor of 4, there'd be more pixels on the right. Okay, is everyone clear on how to resize in that regard? Okay, so before we go on to image recovery, let's go back to copy.c. Because again, you're going to be using this framework, and again, in really the same place, you're going to sort of worry about writing more than just the 1 triple, right? So you're going to write more than 1 triple, but what you want to do is first deal with the row, right? So first put the number of pixels in that row that you want. So first only resize it horizontally, and then store that row that's been resized into a buffer, so allocate memory for it. And then once you have that memory, write this into the memory. So write this new row into the memory, and then write that row to the out file however many times you want. So you first alter the row that you want. Okay? And now there's also tricky stuff here because, well, we've also changed BI size and BI width and BI height, and what else do we have to worry about now that we're resizing an image that we didn't have to worry about when we were copying it? The padding, exactly. So now we have to worry, first of all, we're going to need to be reading from in this for loop that's from BI height, right, and I less than BI height, But then when we're writing, it's not, now BI height is greater, right? But you need to know what both the old height and the new height are. So when you change BI height, like by multiplying by the factor, don't forget the old height, right? So you want to store that in some sort of variable or create a new variable for the new height, because you're reading in the amount of pixels that are, you know, represented in old height and old width, but you're writing out in more times, right? You're printing more pixels. So you need to have both heights, both sizes and widths at your disposal. And then for padding, so now you have, this is the padding that's in the infile. So you have fseek down here, which is skipping over that padding, but then you're gonna have to write your own padding. So here you have to calculate, the same way that this is being calculated, you have to calculate the out padding, right? So it's gonna be like BI new width or something like that. Or don't use BI because that's a struct and then you would have to modify BMP.h. But just make sure that you have both the old height and the new height and, or in this case, yeah, the height. And for the padding, the width, you wanna make sure that you are determining the padding based on the new height, the new width. Yeah? And then you're going to write that padding just like they wrote it down here, except you're going to change the amount of it to your new padding variable, right, for each row. So you're going to make each row individually. You're going to put pixels in it, put padding in it, and then you have one row that's complete and print it as many times as you want. And that's all for resize. And again, every time you do this, so when you're running your program and you might not know how to check it, like if it compiled and if it's executed with no errors, but you don't know if it's resized, that's when you're going to have to SFTP again to see if your image is actually bigger now. And you're going to get some funny images probably because you're going to be wrapping and not padding and stuff like that. So you're going to get smiley faces that look nothing like smiley faces, but you'll figure it out. So I actually thought resize was, for some reason, trickier than recover, even though in retrospect I'm like, resize is easy, but you just get funny images and you get frustrated, but don't worry. So are there any questions about resize before we go on to recover? Yeah.
Can you quickly just go over how you actually save each line into the buffer?
Okay, so you're going to allocate memory using what? Malloc, right, for this buffer. And you're going to do the same way that you F write into this memory, that's and triple. Oh, sorry, into the out pointer. Now you're going to be writing to your new pointer that you've gotten by mallocing. Right, so you want to malloc the size of a row. So what's the size of a row in this case? It depends, right? So you're going to use these variables like BI width, stuff like that. So you do malloc size of, and then figure out how much of it you need, how much memory, and then you write each row, into each pixel into that row. And then you F write each that row many times. Okay. Any other questions about resize? All right, let's take a 5-minute tape break, and then we'll do recover. All right, welcome back from your break. So someone's still on break. Okay. So we're working on recover now, and again, we're going to use the framework of copy.c in order to do it. But recover is a little bit different. Recover is the coolest part of this problem set. So you're dealing with these sort of like lost or deleted or corrupted files, and what you'll learn about as you read some article that is linked to in the problem set that you should actually read because it's very interesting. It talks about how if you actually if you delete something on your hard drive or something like that, you don't actually delete the information. So the bits are still there. The only thing you're losing is knowing where that is. So you're almost like, it's almost just like freeing pointers. When you free a pointer, you still have all that math that you did or that sentence that you typed and stored at that memory address. You just don't know where to find it anymore. So that's like this flashcard or this raw data that you're getting in this problem set. These pictures can't be found, but they're still there. And so the way that you are going to be instructed to find them is by looking for these special bytes at the beginning that indicate that this is the start of a JPEG. So this is an illustration of that. So these might be the bits that are on this card, and you're going to be reading through these bits. And when you find a sequence of bits that's either this FFD8 FFE0, if you find that, or there's another one that's also in the problem set, which just has the last byte different. So this EE0 is something else. So when you find either of those two things, it's not a guarantee that it's a JPEG, but it's a very good chance that it's a JPEG. So you're going to be reading through this card, this raw data, until you find this sequence of bytes. And when you find this sequence of bytes, that's when you want to actually write that sequence of bytes into an out file, right? So you're reading, you're going to find a lot of junk, and then finally you're going to find this signifier, this head, that tells you this is the start of a JPEG, most likely, and then you're going to copy that to your out file. So that's the major idea. And the way the guarantee that really helps you here is that these four bytes have to be at the beginning of a block. So the way that this JPEG is structured, the way that JPEGs are structured, they're a little bit more complicated than bitmaps, and they have these blocks. So each block is 512 bytes. And each of these blocks, if the first four bytes in the block of 512 bytes are not these four bytes, then it's not a JPEG. You don't need to read the rest of that block. So this is actually really efficient because you can just read in entire 512 byte parts at once, check the first four bytes. If they're not this or the other option, which is in the problem set, then you know it's not a JPEG. So you can throw away that whole block, or not throw it away, really. You just won't write it to anything. So this is where, when we used fread and fwrite, and we had the quantity here, so this is where we're actually going to make great use of this, because our size is byte, right, because we're reading in bytes, but then the quantity is 512, right? You want to read in all 512 bytes at once, and it's much more efficient to do it that way. And then you want to write out the same way 512 bytes at once if it's a JPEG. So this is the same sort of idea as in copy.c. You're going to read in, and later you're writing out. But in between that time, in between when you read and write, you are going to want to check that the first four bytes are the four bytes that you're looking for that signify that it's a JPEG. And only if it is do you actually want to write it out. So like it says here, if you find this signature, start writing the bytes to another file. But you also have to keep track, right? So you're opening these files, and you have to name these files, right? So you're going to have strings that name these files. And the problem set tells you how to name them. I think they're numbered, but look into that. So you're going to have to open each of these files, and then you're going to have to close them. So you're going to have to keep track of if there is a file that's open right now at the moment, because then you want to close that file before you start writing to another one. Right, so every time you're going to have a for loop that goes until you've reached the end of the file. So the way you do that is by doing while not, so bang, FEOF. So while it's not the end of your file. So FEOF, and then that takes an argument, which is your file. And the way you're going to access your file is you're going to have a file star, right, a pointer to your file. And the file star is going to open the file. Do you remember how we opened files in copy? What was the command to open a file? Fopen. Simple. You're going to use fopen, and you're going to open. It says in the problem set what exactly the path to this is. It's something like CS50, PSF5, card raw, or something like that. So you're going to open this file. You're going to have a pointer to the file, and then you're going to start reading from this pointer, right? So that becomes your in file. And then your out file that you're writing into is going to be a file that you create, right? So you're going to create this file, you're going to give it a name, which is going to be a string, well, it's going to be a char star. So the way that you check here, right, after you've read this in, you're going to want to read in a block size, right? And you're going to want to, in that memory, you have these bytes. You have 512 bytes, but you want to check the first four. So if you have an array to store these bytes, that's called, let's say, block. So you have block, and the size of this array block is block size, or 512, but don't use 512. It's much better style to put out this magic number and use a variable like block size. And then you want to check if block bracket 0 is that first thing in the signature, block bracket 1 is the second thing, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how you check them, and then you can write them in. So the fact that you're checking them doesn't mean you're reading them. So you're not skipping past them by checking their value, because you're not using fread. You're just going to check, because you've copied all of this in, sort of. Not explicitly, but you have it inside this block size when you've read it in. So now you can just check inside this block array. You can check the first four bytes without reading them in. So you've already read them in, right? And now you're just going to check the first four, and then you're going to write if you found the JPEG signature. Any questions? It's not a whole lot of code. It's just it takes a while to get used to. So definitely read all the information about file I/O. Yeah. For the input file, yes. So the question was, even though we know where the in file is and what it is, do we still need to check if the pointer is null? And the answer is yes, because fopen is doing that for you. So fopen is going to open this in file and return a pointer. And you have to make sure, using these checks that we've been using, whether it returned a valid pointer. So, because it's not, oh, who knows what David gave me. Maybe David gave me null memory card. That's not what it is. It's whether the compiler or whether the computer was able to find memory to give you this pointer. Any other questions? All right, so the process is you go until it's the end of the file. So you keep going, and for each you read in 512 chunks at a time. If you found one, then you create this new file, this out file, and then you write everything into the out file. And then you have to close that out file. And then you're going to move on to your next one. Yeah.
Is the signature necessarily going to be the first four bytes of those 512, or could it be anywhere in there?
Yes. So the question was, is the signature necessarily going to be in the first four bytes of the 512-byte block? Yes. The signature has to always appear in the first four bytes of the 512-byte block. Otherwise, it's not a JPEG. So you don't need to check beyond that. Just read in a block, check the first four, and that's all you need to do to figure out if it's a JPEG. Yeah.
So are there multiple pictures?
Yeah, there's multiple pictures. Yeah, there are, I forget how many. Maybe 15, I don't know, there's a lot. There's 50 pictures? Okay, there's 50 pictures. Yeah, so you'll have fun with that. It doesn't make it any harder for you if there's 50 pictures, right? Because you're just looping through. So for you, it's going to be the same exact thing. And then you're gonna use the SFTP to actually move these pictures into a folder on your computer so that you can actually view them and make sure that they've come out okay. And also, if you are... So one thing I did last year, which I don't know if I should even be telling you this, but so I did it correctly, and I had all the files on my desktop, and like all the pictures were inside my directory on the CS50 on NICE, and everything was working fine, everything was great, and then I was like, well, I'm just gonna like improve my design a little, like change some things, and so I changed a bunch of stuff, and then I just like ran the code again, and like I looked, and all my pictures were still there, and I was like, okay, great, and I submitted it. So then my grader, when he graded it, he removed all the pictures right from my directory, and then ran the code. To make sure that my code actually rendered these pictures, and it didn't. So I get a call at like midnight one night that was like, where did you get the pictures if your code didn't give them to you? Like, did you steal them from someone? Absolutely not. So it took us like a good 3 hours to figure out what I had changed, and it was just my file name. I'll make sure none of you do make this mistake when you make your file name, so it's just like a simple char star. So I was like, oh, it'll be such better design if I specify that it's going to be 8 letters long. But it was supposed to be 8, including the null terminator, but I made it 7 because I didn't think of the null terminator. So my program absolutely like didn't do anything and didn't make these files at all because I named them without a null terminator. So I was almost like accused of academic dishonesty. So lesson is that if you make any changes to your code, remove everything from your directory. So running make clean, for example, do that, because otherwise you'll think that you still have your photos, but your code isn't actually getting them to you. So make sure that every time you're running it, you're clearing out everything from your directory. And that goes for every problem set. So when you make changes, just clear out everything so you're not confusing yourself. And same thing when you're resizing, make sure that every time you change your resize, you delete whatever output your resize had earlier. Any other questions? Yes?
Is it safe to assume that there's not going to be a JPEG signature inside the block?
Yes. So the question was, is it safe to assume there's not going to be a JPEG signature inside the block? Yes. The JPEG signature has to appear in the first four bytes of a 512-byte block. Yeah, so just check the first four bytes, and then you're good.
The UEOF and the AOF.
The FEOF? Yeah, so the end of file is, I mean, it's always going to be at the end of the file, right? The question is, can it be anywhere? But yeah, I mean, it's not at the beginning of a block, obviously, it's at the end. But it's at the end of the last block, so. Any other questions? Okay, great. Thank you. Good luck. Thank you for coming out here in the snow.
Thank you.